This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
All right, hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to a long overdue episode of Chicago Bulls. The Bulls season has started. We are, 4-1 right now after beating the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. Hopefully this is when everyone is listening to it. That is the last game we have played. I know we have a day off here, so I'm sure I'll get it up tomorrow. But, Freddie, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
Doing great, bud. Great to talk to you again, Mark. I mean, we haven't talked in forever. It seems like it's been, October 15th, I think, our last show. Right around there, before the season started. So I know you've been busy with school. I've been busy with work and raising a family. It's just been crazy. But finally, we get to talk about what this season has been so far for you. For me, it's been just so far a huge success. I'm beyond excited. I know there's a lot of concerns about, oh, Rose, is he going to be hurt and all this nonsense. Hey, man, doesn't matter how good we are now, right? Doesn't matter how healthy we are now. All that matters is I want these guys peaking in April. If they have to sit out till January, I don't care. Winning games now, although nice and although we need to win more than we lose, it's not as important, as winning in April. And I was talking about this today on Twitter. I want to peak. The Bulls under Thibodeau for the last 3, 4, 5 years. I'd say in 2010-11 was probably an exception, but they seem to be peaking every year in January, especially Noah. I want them to peak in April, and the best way to do that, have them sit out every other game, be conservative with a game plan as far as sitting out. So far, so good. I have no problem with Rose missing games. I have no problem with Noah missing games. Gasol looks fantastic, and so does Butler. I think we're going to be a really strong team come playoff time. Let's say you.
I mean, yeah, I can't argue with that, Fred. I mean, there's a couple stats here that are really sticking out to me, and that's the Bulls right now in the entire NBA have the third best point differential of any team in the NBA, a plus 7.2. I mean, come on, man. Like, what have we ever seen anything that is remotely close to a plus 7.2? We're averaging 102.2 points a game. Unfrickin' believable for a Chicago Bulls team. 95 points again. Against, which is slightly worse than what we averaged last year, but let's keep in mind, Joakim Noah hasn't played in 2 games now, and he hasn't really been that good so far this year. Our defense is, has definitely been a little bit sloppy. They're getting it going. I mean, we've played really well in spurts. I mean, you could talk about the level of competition, and we could talk about that all year. Look, the East sucks. So the fact is that, yeah, we've beaten 3 crappy teams. We lost to a good team, maybe. The Cleveland Cavaliers have taken a nosedive the last couple games, but I mean, you know, regardless, you know, Rose went out that game, though a lot of things happened. We played very competitively. Actually, that game didn't really bother me at all. I thought we played really well considering
Butler didn't play either in that game. So he's our best defender against LeBron. You're missing Jimmy. Obviously, we're not anywhere near 100% or near our best roster when we're playing them. So I have no worries there.
No, but a plus 7.2. Averaging 102.2 points a game is, I mean, we're only 5 games into the season. I get that, but come on. I mean, that's just sick. And when we've had to turn it on, we did. And tonight, you know, against the Bucks, I mean, it's a back-to-back. It was a back-to-back for them, too. I mean, generally, Milwaukee plays us pretty tight. This team, this Milwaukee Bucks team, you know, they're 2-3 right now. They're a decent team. They could be a playoff team this year. They're young. They've got a lot to learn. There's a lot of things tonight that they were a little bit sloppy on, down the stretch especially. There's things they could have executed better. But they could be a decent team, and we've seen tonight, yesterday, that when the going gets tough down the stretch, we can tighten the grips and play really good defense. And that's exactly what we did tonight. That's exactly what we did last night. Our offense has been a little bit, it's been shaky in spurts, but I feel like, you know, we haven't been a 48-minute team yet. But when you see, read Sam Smith yesterday, man, and actually I think it was today, Sam Smith today, talking about, in it he included a bunch of Thibodeau quotes so far this season, and when you hear Tibbs talk about this team, this is a new Tibbs, man. First he's yelling and screaming, pissed off all game. Then you read his comments after the game, and he loves his team. He loves our rookies. He loves the team, and he loves Pau Gasol, and just so many positives on this team right now.
How can you not love Gasol? I mean, the guy's playing at an all-star level. I mean, just look at the game tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over 20 points, double-digit rebounds. You know, and everybody was concerned, well, how is it going to work the three-man rotation? That solves itself. Obviously, tonight Noah didn't make it. Noah looks really, to me, just awful. He looks like a shadow of himself. I know he's trying. I know he's going to be fine. But let's ease him into it. Let's have Noah ease into the season. Let's get him going up to about 30 minutes a game somewhere around January. And let's just take a bigger picture at this and not try to throw Noah out there and demand that he plays high minutes. That's why getting him is such a luxury, getting Gasol, bringing him here. We could play these guys at 30 minutes and use the San Antonio plan. And finally, for once, in I don't know how many years, look at going into April and the playoffs with a team that's rested, with a team that's healthy. Now, all that said, we also have to figure out a way of, you know, I'm totally with management on this. I'm protecting kids from himself. You know, he played, I saw that Gasol played 40 minutes yesterday. Mark, take a guess how many times Gasol played 40 minutes last year in 60 games for the Lakers.
I'm going to guess it wasn't a lot.
Yeah, try zero. He didn't play in one game. Every game, he never touched 40 minutes in the entire season, all 60 games. And in game number, we're 4-1 now, right? So game number four yesterday in the victory over who did we beat yesterday? Magic at home. He played 40 minutes against the Magic at home. You know?
Yeah, but you know what, though? It was a tight game. Noah's out. Mirotić is certainly still finding his footing. I mean, you know, he has spurts where offensively he's had moments where he's looked really good. The guy's got crazy range. I mean, he has confidence to shoot that rock from anywhere on the court. He could get it right under the basket on the other end, and he'll shoot the ball and possibly score it. Guy's got, unbelievable range, but he has been inconsistent, and defensively he's been atrocious. I mean, you've got to play.
I don't feel that way. I don't think he's been atrocious. I think he's done what you expect out of a rookie, and that's my point. Let these guys play. You know, let them play through their mistakes, even if we're going to lose two or three more games than we would have, over the year. Instead of being 58 wins or 56 wins, we end up with 50 wins. But going in April, you got Mirotić with considerable experience and more minutes played behind him. Or you have, even if you have McDermott with more minutes played behind him, let him play through those mistakes. And Tibbs has shown he just doesn't. He's not going to accept that. He's not going to go that route. Whatever. I've come to accept it. You know, I find it extremely irritating and very short-sighted and very stupid. But I'm not going to continue to harp on it unless again we have another disappointing playoffs. You know, he's 17-23 so far, and I know all the injuries, which I keep on saying to anybody who'll listen, he's partly responsible for. If we have another disappointing playoffs this year, then I'm going to really be angry, because this team is deep enough, or should be deep enough, and should be strong enough to go into April healthy, go into April strong, go into April rested, and start doing some things in the playoffs that we'll remember, as opposed to having disappointing, first round outs.
I mean, I agree with you, Fred, but look, I feel too that it's, you don't want them to be exhausted at the end of the season, but if we play certain players a lot at the beginning, and then as the rookies start to find their footing, you know, make them earn their minutes, as they start to find their footing, then we take some of the other guys' minutes down as we start to approach January and let them, you know, get ready for the playoffs, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's early in the season. I think it's important that right now the team starts to develop the chemistry that you're going to need throughout the year. Like, know the rotations, know how to play with the players you're going to be playing with, on a night in, night out basis. Get that down now. There's no reason not to. And then you could start shaking things up, I think, in a couple months and start slowing down certain things to prepare for it. I have no problem with it. You know, Mirotić, he hasn't, and I'm cool with it. You know, it's early. But I want to have him and McDermott earn their minutes. And, I mean, tonight, you know, Mirotić is 1 for 6. He's, I mean, he played 16 minutes. I mean, he had 3 rebounds. I guess that's all right. He did have a block. But, I mean, all of our starters tonight were playing wonderful. All of our starters, up through Taj Gibson, all of them were in the pluses. Everyone was in double-digit pluses besides Gasol, ironically. But that's only because Gasol played with the bench. Our bench tonight didn't play very well. One of the first games they didn't. Our bench has been extremely impressive this year, especially Aaron Brooks, man. My God, where'd that guy come from? I mean, I'm going to say this. I mean, so far this year, now this night, take tonight away from this, but you know, he had a terrible game tonight. But if you take that away, and we're just looking at this microcosm of the first few games of the season, he's been the best point guard we've had on this team besides Derrick Rose. And, I mean, you can argue Kirk Heinrich, fine. But, I mean, besides DJ, Nate Robinson, you know, I'd take Aaron Brooks. I mean, he's better defensively. Did you see that block that he got last night on Vucevic down the stretch? He's been wonderful. And
yeah, I'm not ready to make
that. He's a point guard. He's a true point guard. I don't feel that way.
I think he's a lot more like Nate Robinson. He's a shooting guard and a point guard body. And he has played great, you know, so far for the most part through 5 games. I'm not ready to say he's, you know, better or going to do more for this team than DJ Augustin did. And I thought DJ did a ton. And also Nate Robinson, who I absolutely loved. I think he's absolutely played so much better since the season started. I thought he had overall a pretty horrific and disappointing playoffs. I mean, preseason. But, you know, game one, I mean, huge. Played awesome for the most part and stretches. And he is one of the few guys on the team that can kind of quote, unquote, create your own shot, you know, type of guy. And he definitely has no fearless. He's not scared to shoot, let's just put it that way. But I think he's more of like a shoot first guard as opposed to a pass first guard. I don't agree with you that he's more of a point guard at all.
Well, he's averaging 5.5 assists a game, and I'm sure his minutes are down from his career. He was a starter in certain situations in his career. He's averaging almost 70% more assists than he has at any point in his career. He's also, his field goal percentage is better, and his points per game are better. Now, it is only a few games.
Yeah.
That's going to change. But this is also taking into account tonight where he played terrible. So, I mean, he's been, I mean, we'll see. But, I mean, I definitely think that so far, the results have been very promising with him.
No doubt.
The only player that has been completely lost to me, it doesn't really matter because he's deep in our rotation, is Tony Snell. I think that he's looked like crap every single time he's played.
No, he had a good game against Cleveland, I felt. I thought he played pretty well that game. Did you see that game, Mark?
Snell
played pretty solid in that game. I mean, he's not shooting the ball well. I think he was, what, 30? He was below 40% before this game tonight. I don't know how he played tonight. I was on a plane. So, okay, yeah, so I know he was shooting pretty poorly. But in that Cleveland game, you know what? This season, Tony Snell's irrelevant. He's, 12th, 13th man.
Yeah,
I agree. He's totally not relevant to this team. The team hasn't really been healthy as a unit all year, right? You know, games 1 and 2, we're missing Butler. You know, Rose is then obviously out 3 and 4. Noah's out today. We haven't even had our best 5 on the court at one point this entire season, and we're 4-1. You know, so I have nothing. We should be nothing but overjoyed about this team so far. I'm ecstatic. Yeah, true. The schedule has not been tough, but you know it's going to get tougher eventually. I know our first real test. I think Toronto we play on the 13th, I believe, and we have three pretty easy games up until then. We're playing Detroit. Can't recall off the top of my head who else.
They won their first game tonight.
They did. Really. Congratulations.
Yeah, they did. They beat the Magic. Somebody had to not be undefeated anymore.
Yeah, you know, so I don't think there's nothing but positives we should take so far from the season so far. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I mean, look, I mean, even Rose, I mean, other than the fact that obviously Rose, I mean, but, you know, rolled ankles, that stuff happens. You land on feet, and I mean, it's just an NBA thing, freak thing, but, you know, he's looked way more confident in the three-point shot. I do feel like he's shooting a little too much, but there are times where he's looked pretty good. I mean, he was...
You always feel that.
Tonight. Well, tonight he took five threes. He was 2 for 5, but he was really rusty when he first came into the game. He wasn't playing with a lot of confidence. He took a hit early on, and then he started to play with a little bit more confidence, but then it slowed towards the end of the game, I felt. He wasn't as aggressive as I would like to see. He did get to the line, I mean, 4 times. I mean, it's 31 minutes, though, you know, 10 shot attempts for the, quote-unquote best player on the team. I mean, right now, it's a question, who is the best player on this team? Because Butler tonight had 7 assists, Rose had 7 assists, but as far as the shot attempts go, Rose is shooting way less than Taj Gibson, way less than Pau Gasol. So, you know, is that going to change? Is Rose going to be taken? Rose took 10 shots tonight. So is he going to be I'd like to see him be in it's his first game back. That's fine. You know, if, even for a couple games it's like this, that's okay. But I need to see Rose shortly be in at least the 15 to 16 shot per game category. But I don't expect with this team, with the depth that they have, to him to be anywhere near MVP point totals. I don't think he's going to need to be. I think his assists will be way up, which they have been. I mean, his assists have been, overall, he's been passing the ball a lot better. He has made some really crappy passes sometimes, and just he'll just, you know, he'll play great for a stretch and then just make some bad turnovers. He had four turnovers tonight, as did JB. But, yeah, Rose had four turnovers tonight. But, I mean, as a whole, I like the passes that he made. He made a wonderful pass to Gasol right at the beginning of the game. As a whole, he's looked pretty good in that with that regard, but when his aggressiveness is there, I think he's wonderful. And I'm trying to think, because I think maybe it was Cleveland at the beginning of the Cleveland game, but
yeah, he was phenomenal that game before he got hurt. I don't think you should have any question. Rose is still our best player. He might not have. You know, he obviously hasn't played the best probably through five games. I'd say, you know, night in night out, I'd say Gasol's been our best player probably for throughout the first five games. But you know, If we're going to win a title, you know, the champion, Rose is going to be our best player.
I don't know about that. We're a team that's going to move the ball a lot, man. And I don't necessarily think that Rose needs to be. He needs to draw attention to himself, like he can score at any moment. But in terms of his numbers and how much he needs to dominate the game, it doesn't look like he's trying to dominate the game, and B, you know, we need to play inside out, and you see the two. I think that you could say right now the three best players on the team are Gibson, Noah, and Paul, or Gibson, Gasol, and Butler. And I think, you know, obviously Butler, I don't think is going to be one of the top at the end of the year, but obviously our front court's very strong. I have no problem with him trying to find other people's shot, get other people going first, and then, you know, try to get his shots within the rhythm of the offense, which is something he's never had the luxury of doing before. So I'm happy to see that he's willing to do that, because I think you see teams like Cleveland, for example, right now, who's really struggling. Tonight, they were getting crushed by Utah. So, okay, they're down now 96-90 with a minute and a half left in the fourth. But, I mean, they're struggling, and they're not moving the ball well. You know, they played well against us, but part of against us, they were abnormally good down in the post, which for the rest of the year, they haven't looked as good in the post as they looked against us for that one game. You know, teams have strange games here and there, but you see a team that's got a lot of talent there that doesn't move the ball, and that's a team that needs to move the ball better. But, and I think that with us, you know, we need to move the ball. Everybody has to get their touches. Everybody needs to contribute. Every single starter on this team besides Mike Dunleavy should be in double digits pretty much every single night. But saying that too, Pau Gasol should be like in the high, you know, in the mid-teens at least every single night. As do I think Taj Gibson, really. Then you're going to get Noah back, who's going to be in the double digits every single night as well. And let's say, you know, Butler should at least be averaging 15 a game. So, but Rose is going to have to adjust. He's never been in this position before, but I think he's playing his role. I'm okay with him. He was 4-for-10 tonight. That's relative efficiency for me. Yeah, I'd like to see him closer, whatever, 40-50%, whatever. I mean, that's where you'd like to see him be. I mean, and the fact that he's taking the wide open threes, I mean, he has his moments where he's really knocking those things down, and he's missed a few games here, fine. I mean, I still am never going to be convinced that this guy is a three-point shooter like Stephon Curry, which five is a lot. That is a lot of threes to be taking. But, you know, that being said, he's been all right from there, and I have no problem with him playing within the flow of the offense and just letting the game come to him overall. If as long as he can get to the point where he looks healthy, that he can take the game over when they need that. If, you know, you see a team like Washington right now is playing really well. They're playing really well because when they get down in crunch time, they've executed because they got Paul Pierce, who's been great down the stretch. You know, he's not doing what he used to do night in and night out across the board average-wise, but down the stretch he's been big for them. And I think as long as Rose can get to that point where he's that guy for us again, that's all we really need, I feel. What say you?
I'm fine with pretty much everything that's happening with the team right now. I think Rose is playing and is picking his spots when he is healthy and playing. In the few games I've watched him play, obviously, since he's been out for a few, I think he's done great. I'm ecstatic about the team. Butler has been phenomenal. I think Taj deserves a special mention also. He's shooting an insane percentage going into this game. He's over 6%. He's been incredible. A lot of guys, to his credit, would have pouted, oh, you brought Gasol in, this is my chance to start. You know, he could have easily taken that in a negative way and really pouted and demanded a trade, whatever. Instead, what did he do? He got better. He shut his mouth, and he's clearly, to me, if he doesn't win Sixth Man of the Year this year, he's got to be the front runner right now. And I thought he was robbed last year. The Bulls and the fans really need to put a PR, you know, movement in place to make sure that guy wins the award, because he's been absolutely stellar so far this year. Every guy going up and down, with the exception of the rookies, who both have played, you know, not great, right? I'd say average. But everybody outside of that, from Heinrich, who's played out of his mind, Dunleavy, I mean, every guy to me is playing at a plus level, with the exception of Noah and the two rookies. And I expect Noah to get better as he gets healthier, and I expect the rookies to get better because they're rookies. And, you know, so I'm just ecstatic, Mark. I really feel this team. You know, I know you just mentioned Cleveland. Cleveland is going to get better, and the Heat were 9-8
yeah,
in the beginning, and they're going to be a challenge for us. No denying that. But we have the rim protectors. We have the advantage there in the front court, and I think that's going to really put us over the top. Unless the Cavs do make some, you know, moves that I haven't foreseen, where they're able to get a rim protector. I think we are the best team in the East, and you know, who knows now? Look at what a mess the West could be. You know, with the Thunder. The Thunder, they're going to have a lot of catching up to do when they get their two guys back, because
yeah,
they are really good
back.
Right now.
They'll be back. But you know what, though? I mean, it depends in terms of timing here. Now, I mean, Westbrook should only be gone for a brief period of time here, but the Thunder don't have a lot of depth, so Durant's out, what, 2-3 months, right? I mean, he's going to be out for a little while. Yeah, I mean, the Western Conference, you know, every team last year in the West was, they won, like, what, 45 games, right? Didn't, like, every team at least win 45 games, something like that?
Yep.
Last year? So, I mean, yeah, if they're down 15 games or something like that. I mean, the Oklahoma City's 1-4 right now. So,
well, Houston's look great. Houston's look phenomenal. I always thought that.
Yeah, they really have.
They had a really good team in place.
They're the second best point differential in the NBA, 14.2 points a game. That's huge.
Howard's been great. Whatever you say about him, Howard's been great. And,
very good.
Golden State, phenomenal, too. I mean, they're really. So, I mean, those two teams, you know, kind of surprised, quote unquote, surprised Dallas. They look really strong in the game they're seeing them. The West is loaded, right? So who knows what's going to happen when we get there. The trick is just getting there. Anything can happen. But, look, you know, anything can happen in the finals. Just get there. And, you know, and I think the Bulls really should be the favorite in the East to win it now.
I'm going to go there. I'm not going to say that it's clear as day. We're going to have to give it a little time, see what happens with Cleveland here, but there's no doubt in my mind. You can't make an argument right now for any other team besides maybe Cleveland. You can't make that argument right now for Cleveland. Their point differential is -6 right now. They got spanked yesterday. They got spanked the first game of the year. And then, you know, they beat us barely when we had our best player out. And who knows what they're going to do tonight. But, okay, a couple questions for you. First question, three biggest surprises with this team right now.
With the Bulls so far? Number one, without a doubt, is Heinrich. Heinrich said a couple moments that just shocked the heck out of me. I mean, in big moments. The Cleveland game, he was absolutely huge down the stretch. Obviously, that shocks the hell out of me, because everybody who listens to this knows what I think of Kirk Heinrich. So, I'm fine. I like Kirk as a backup who plays 25 minutes a game or 20, somewhere between 20 and 25 minutes a game. I don't like him closing games. I never have. I don't like him in the playoffs closing games. Hey,
what about tonight? He closed tonight. What's your problem? Do you have a problem with that?
He had a big three tonight, too. He had a big three tonight, too. I do have a problem with it, because I think we're going to see this in the playoffs. Kirk will be probably out there. And I had predicted this before the year, that I think the lineup Tibbs is going to go with, more often than not, down the stretch, is going to be Noah, Taj, and when they're healthy, Butler, Rose, and Kirk. And I just don't feel that that's enough scoring and enough spreading of the floor in the playoffs when it matters most. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Kirk continues his stellar play in the fourth quarter, last 5 minutes. I just don't think it's likely. And
who can you play? So today he closed out, and he played two-guard. Jimmy played the three down the stretch, but you're not going to play Dunleavy.
I have a real problem. What really drives me nuts about Tibbs is his reluctance to play the jumbo lineup. You're blessed with having Taj Gibson, who can guard threes. The guy is that athletic, he can guard threes. You have Noah, who is one of the most athletic.
We haven't had a chance yet.
Yeah,
he said
he's not going to do it, and I think that would have cured all rebounding ills. Like, you know, we got killed by Tristan Thompson in that Cavs game. You know, obviously, Noah wasn't feeling great, and Taj had a sprained ankle. But why not throw the jumbo lineup out there? His reluctance to go with that lineup to me is foolish, because his argument basically is, well, I tried it last year and it didn't work. Well, yeah, because he had Carlos Boozer as one of the three. Carlos Boozer sucked, and Paul Gasol doesn't. So what kind of lame argument is that? Anyhow, you asked about what the big surprises. Number one, Heinrich. Number two, you know, Butler, I expected him to look better and you know, improve this year. It shocked me to the level he's playing now. I mean, this guy is playing at an all-star level. And I don't know how you could, it was all throughout the preseason, he's like becoming a guy that you're going to go to in the final 3 minutes, you know, as another go-to scorer. And his athleticism has always been off the charts. He's always had a gift for getting to the line. But on the offensive end, he's been incredible. He's been great, and he's always been an A-plus defender. He's playing at a max level, and I would be shocked if he doesn't get a max contract if he continues even remotely close to 20 points per game. Third biggest surprise, and I would say McDermott. You know, I've always been high on him. He's just not, I don't know what it is. You know, maybe he's not getting a chance, and Tibbs not the most rookie-friendly coach. Are you still there, Mark? You fall asleep on me. I'm shocked at how he's not shooting it as well as I expected him to. He's got a lot of open looks that he hasn't canned. And that's the one thing I expect out of McDermott, is that every open look the guy gets, he's going to make 9 out of 10 of those in a Korver-esque fashion. And he hasn't done that yet. And, you know, Tibbs, I think, is starting to lose a little faith in him. His minutes have gone down, you know, pretty much the last two important games and close games. He hardly played tonight. I think he was under 10 minutes tonight. And that's a little disappointing to me, you know. Again, it's only been 5 games, and you've seen glimpses. He's had a couple nice games. I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I thought he played great against New York. He had another nice game in there. But, you know, I think that guy's incredibly important for us. He's got to be playing at a good level, a really solid level, because he brings so much that we don't have, the outside shooting, the three-point shooting. And he also has shown an ability, I think, to get to the rim and drive much better than, you know, than expected, what most people expected out of him. He's an excellent rebounder, too. So I'm just a little disappointed, I guess, in somewhat surprised in his shooting percentage. Hasn't been better. Then again, I look in, you know, before today, he was shooting at 45% on the year, which is, you know, fantastic, but 25% from three, that's a number that has to go up. What about your surprises so far, Mark?
My biggest surprise now is that, and today I came to this conclusion, is I think that we are going to have, at minimum, 4 All-Stars this year. And I that shocked the crap out of me.
And they are?
Well, obviously, Derek. I think that, I mean, I'm sure he'll make the All-Star team. There's no reason why he shouldn't. Joakim, obviously.
Well, hold on there. I don't think, obviously. I mean, Gasol is the All-Star.
I'm going to go say that's next. I think Joakim. I mean, Joakim was a pretty surefire All-Star last year.
But he hasn't played anywhere near an All-Star level this year. I'm saying
no, but it's 5 games in. I mean, I think that he's going to be. There's no reason to think he won't be Joakim Noah shortly. And at that, it's not going to really matter. His rebound, he's still averaging 10 rebounds a game right now. His points aren't there. And you're right, he hasn't been Joakim, but I think he's going to get there. He's been very consistent the last couple years, just getting better. There's no reason to think that he's not going to be great. I mean, he's coming off of a knee surgery.
He's just not healthy yet. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I kind of see him looking, you know, not 100% for a while. I think it kind of takes a while to get, you know, through that and get used to playing through that and, you know, getting more confidence and getting in shape. And I think it's going to be a longer process with him. I hope I'm wrong, you know, and I hope he starts looking like he did last year. But he hasn't even looked remotely like the Joakim we saw last year. He looks like the guy we saw in the playoffs.
But you know what? I mean, I'm going to take my gamble here, and I'm going to say that he will be that player early enough in the season where he will at least get the coach's vote if he doesn't get voted in by the fans. And he's a fan favorite, too. Fans like him. So I could potentially see – I mean, there's not a lot of great centers in the East. There's some great centers, but I think there's a decent chance that he could get maybe voted out. Regardless of which, I think he has a chance. Pau Gasol, no question. Taj Gibson, maybe, if he keeps playing like this. Maybe.
What about Jimmy?
Jimmy Butler, definitely. Jimmy could be, who's a better two-guard in the East? Wade. But besides, like, Wade, who's better? Maybe Beal. Beal has barely even played yet, so we'll see when Beal plays. Butler right now, I mean, is he better than Beal was last year? He's certainly better defensively. Is he better than Beal was right now?
Absolutely. I would say, if you had asked me who would you rather have this season, Beal or Jimmy Butler, I would say Butler. I would give him the edge. I'd say Beal is probably, you give him the edge offensively, although he hasn't, you know, had a chance to, it's a pretty small sample size, but Jimmy's been excellent offensively so far this year. I would probably say, though, overall, I'd prefer Butler just for this year. He's got more height. He's got a very underrated gift in that he takes the ball to the rim and gets to the line. That's a huge skill that he has, drawing fouls and getting to the line that, you know, it's just not, that's another, you know, problem with the team I thought in previous years, and we just didn't have those guys that were, you know, putting the pressure on our defense, getting guys into foul trouble, just didn't have it. Jimmy does that extremely well. Yeah, maybe you're right, Mark. I mean, let's go through the shooting guards in the East.
Maybe DeMar DeRozan.
Joe Johnson is pretty good shooting guard.
I don't know what he's doing right now.
He had 22 the other night, and he's doing the Joe Johnson thing. Yeah, he's doing the Joe Johnson thing.
Got the name.
Yeah, he's got the name, but Jimmy was averaging over 20 points per game, and at the level he plays defense, I mean, you got to consider him, right? Don't you? As a, possibly a guy. Joe Johnson's averaging, 22 a game. Take that back. DeMar DeRozan, we were missing too. He's averaging 21 a game. Is an excellent shooting guard too. But
that's it, though, right? I'm not missing anyone else. That's
you
it.
Think,
so he definitely has a chance, and I think winning makes a big difference. And look, I mean, again, the East sucks. So the fact is, night in and night out, we should be destroying teams. If we have a really good winning percentage towards the All-Star break, could I see Butler getting voted in there? Maybe. If we have 3 to 4 All-Stars, that's going to be a big surprise for me. My second biggest one, I'm going to combine two together just because you've already mentioned them. I'm not even going to go into detail. But Kirk and Jimmy combined, we've already talked about it. But, yeah, those two. And then the third one is just how much Neil Funk and Stacey King are pissing me off this year. Last game, they got into, like, a bickering match for, like, 5 minutes. And it was just like, shut up. I mean, and it's just the same stuff. Hang on 1 second.
What was it about?
So what was it about?
I missed this.
You know what? I tuned them out. Like, they just kept going back and forth bickering about something. It was ridiculous. And then tonight, Neil Funk starts, he's like, the camera's molesting this girl having an ice cream cone. Clearly, Neil Funk's liking the girl, not the ice cream cone. And he's like, oh, look at that shot. He's like this creepy old guy at a nudist colony. He's just like, look at that shot right there. That's a delightful-looking ice cream cone. And Stacey's like, you like that ice cream, don't you, Neil Funk? It's like, shut up. They are terrible. Both of them are terrible. I don't understand at what point the team is going to understand that they suck. I mean, I don't know anyone who likes them. I mean, we got a pretty decent-sized Bulls community here who's very vocal about how much they hate these two mother effers. Why do they continue to use these two guys? They're a bunch of clowns. Especially Neil Funk, but Stacey King's a clown, too. And I mean, same thing. Night in, night out, over and over and over, he says the same stupid little one-liners, and if he makes up a new one-liner, it's stupid, too. They suck. They don't add anything to the game. They really piss me off, and I'm surprised by how much it is happening this year, because I'm getting to a point where I'm just going to turn it off, the sound, and just listen to it on the radio, but then, you know, your timing's off. There's a lot of factors to figure in here. But one more question. What are your three biggest surprises in the NBA?
Three biggest surprises in the NBA. Houston looking this good out of the gate. I mean, I say it's a surprise. I expected them to look good, not this good. I think Howard's 100% healthy. That's a scary thing. You know, Harden's a phenomenal shooting guard, regardless of what you think of him. On the defensive end, the guy's a scoring machine. That team looks really good. And Golden State, I would also throw in there. I'm surprised at how good the Heat have looked in the times I've seen them. I don't want to act like I've been watching every game. Wade looks incredible. I mean, Wade looks like a guy who's on a mission to prove that it wasn't a one, you know, that he was a big reason that he had all that success. And they're not going to be easy out. I think it's clear that team's probably top four easily in the East.
Easily. But they got beat tonight. They got beat tonight. So they've lost two in a row.
Who did they lose to tonight to?
The Hornets.
Oh, wow. I'm sure... Interesting. What was the score of the game? I don't have it in front of me.
96-89. They were losing by quite a bit, though, early on. Miami outscored them in the fourth. but they were losing to them by quite a bit at points of the third. But I agree with you, though. I am surprised by how good they have been. I'm surprised by how dominant Bosch has been, for sure. They are a top... I am going to say that right now, in my opinion, they are a top three. Washington's good. They're probably a top four. I think Washington's in that discussion, too, but nobody else. Nobody's even close, I don't think. Let me just double-check.
Well, no, Toronto was undefeated until... I thought Miami beat them.
Yeah, good point differential.
I thought Miami had beat them. Toronto's a good team. You know,
+6?
Yeah, they beat the Raptors 107-102. So here's the Heat. You're right. They're 3-2 right now. The Wizards, they beat the Wizards. They beat the 76ers. They beat the Raptors. They lost to the Rockets, who everybody's losing to, and they lost at the Hornets. So they lost. Wow. See that line real quick. Get the box going back in. I just want to see how Dang's doing. Have you been paying attention to him?
Little bit. He's been good.
Just doing the Luol Deng thing? Which he,
yeah, doing the Luol. I'd have to double. I don't know his stats off the top of my head, but he's been good.
Okay. Interesting here. All right, so I'll tell you one second. I just want to see. Well, anyhow, what other surprises do you have in the NBA in general? Did we get your...
Well, my number one surprise is, I mean, I didn't think the Lakers were going to be this bad. The Lakers are really, really bad. They could be the worst team in the NBA.
Completely expected it. You know, Kobe's on a pace to break the record for most missed shots. You know, if anybody in the history of the NBA, you aware that it's going to happen very shortly?
Yeah, do you know that he's in the top three right now of all time? I mean, just early sample size, but just in terms of average point attempts per game, or shot attempts per game. The only players, so I looked at it today, there were three players that had that were higher than he currently is, but three instances. Two of them were Will Chamberlain. I can't remember who the third was, but two of them were Will Chamberlain. And it could have been all three was Will Chamberlain. I don't remember. But, yeah, I did not expect, even when Randall went down, I did not think that they're losing by an average of 14.8 points a game. I mean, but then I guess you look up the list, and you're like, well, who in the West could they beat? Apparently nobody, because I think they've already lost to Utah. I may be wrong, but I think Denver beat them. They can't beat anyone. I mean, it could be a month before they win their first game unless they're playing Philadelphia at some point. Philadelphia almost won tonight, though. But even so, Philadelphia, they're crap. They beat the Orlando, or they lost the Orlando Magic by a couple points late.
Well, I'm loving it. I hope the Lakers go 0-82. I really do. I think anybody who thinks, there's a ton of fans out there, a ton of dumb Laker fans that think Kobe approaches Jordan. Michael Jordan would have never played this pathetic. Even at 40 years of age, who scored in 20-plus, and making a horrible Wizards team a 500 team or close to it, approaching 500. Those teams won in the upper 30s. That team was just as bad as his Lakers team. Mm-hmm. And he's just a ball hog, and I'm glad that his career is ending on such a pathetic note.
Look, he's still averaging almost 30 points a game, and it's like, you can't...
Well, he's shooting so many times, anybody could average that many points.
But you can raise that up. He's only shooting 40%, so, I mean, yeah, it's not good. It's not good, but you're in the range where it could get if you bring that up 3 percentage points, you're okay. You're in a decent range where it's like, all right, whatever. I mean, 3-point percentage, 30%, you bring that up 3-4%, you're okay. You're not terrible. You know, he's always going to get to the line. He's getting to the line right now almost 9 times a game. I'm not going to say that he's this awful basketball player.
Well, of course he is, because he's Kobe Bryant, and if the ref doesn't call a foul, he's going to get crap for it. So he will go to the line 9 times a game, get a vast majority of his points there. The guy is such a – right now, it's a joke. It really is. It's a total joke.
He's not better right now than Jordan was at 36. That's for damn sure. Jordan at 36 is winning titles.
He's not as good as Jordan was at 40. Go by the stats.
I'm going to disagree.
Jordan was still shooting in the mid-40s from the field at 40.
Yeah, but he's playing way less.
He's
falling
apart with
much less of a role. It's different. It's different. He didn't have to carry this. First, he didn't have to completely carry the team. He didn't feel like he needed to. Well, he didn't play too. He barely. Jordan had a bunch of issues that his final 2 years at.
At the age of 39, when he went to play for Washington, that first year was very good. He had a ton of issues the second year, But that first year, he averaged on, I think, almost 40 minutes a game. And I'll go look it up right now while we're talking.
I'm bringing it up right now. I got it up. So
yeah.
Jordan, he averaged 22.9, man. So he played 60 games. What's his average minutes here? He averaged, that first year, 34 minutes a game.
34.
He averaged 37 minutes. No, his last year he played 82 games. 2002-2003, played 82 games. He averaged 37 minutes a game, and he averaged 20 points a game.
There you go.
That's not that great. Jordan's last year with Chicago, he was 34. But at 38,
he
shot 41%.
He was 36.
His three-point percentage was 18%.
Wait, will you get it right? That's not true. His last year with Chicago, how old was he? He was like 36.
34.
No, he was like 36 or 37 years old.
Go look at basketballreference.com. He's 34. He retired at 39.
No,
maybe when he started the season, he retired at 40.
He was 40.
Yeah, but fine. At the end, fine. So beginning of the year, his last year in Chicago, he was 34. So 35 at the end when he made the shot.
No, he didn't.
He was 35.
No.
I'm reading basketballreference.com.
You're totally wrong. His last year with the Bulls was in 1998. He came back to play like 2 years later.
And he was born in 1963.
He was born in 1963, so that means he was 36 years old when he won his last title with the Bulls. Yes.
So why the hell is this telling me at 31, 32, 33, 34?
1998, he won with the Bulls. We won his last title with the Bulls, right?
Yes.
So February.
Born in February. It's saying here that he started the season at 34.
Okay, so he was 35 years old when he won his last title.
Fine. So this is Kobe starting the season at 36.
And he's been, and he hasn't played, basically.
37.
He missed the entire season last year. He didn't play at all.
Fine. And first of all, obviously, Kobe's been a better three-point shooter throughout his career than Jordan ever was.
What, so really? By a lot?
Jordan averaged his first... Okay, he's 32% career, Jordan. At 38 years old, his first year in Washington, Jordan averaged under 20%. He never averaged 30%.
Hold on a second.
Career...
Michael Jordan's career three-point shooting, Kobe's, isn't that different?
33.5. But still, his last 2 years were dismal, Fred. Jordan's 2 years in Washington were dismal.
No, they weren't. Mark, he shot over, what did he shoot percentage-wise?
18% in 29?
No. What did Michael Jordan shoot percentage-wise in his last
from
year?
Three.
No.
From three?
From the field.
41% his first year and 44% his second year.
44% his second year, and Kobe shooting 40%.
Well, 41% his first year.
At 36.
Well, at 38.
He's 41% better than 40, last time I looked.
Well, yeah, but not by a ton. So obviously, he did have, there were other guards in the back. I mean, Richard Hamilton.
We're comparing, are we really going to go down this
what's
road?
What's his name? Stackhouse down the end. I'm just saying that they had some guys kind
they
of.
They had
not
nothing.
Really.
They had nothing. They had nothing around him. They had a horrible front court. They had nothing. And Jordan made that team with 38
yeah,
wins.
Yeah, you're right. It was Jordan. Yeah, he took more field goal attempts than anybody else. But Hamilton played a moderate role in the backcourt for
sure.
Rick
Hamilton sucked. Rick Hamilton sucked then.
Took over 1,000 field goal attempts. Jordan took 1,300.
Regardless, all
I'm going to say, this guy's coming back from injury. He hasn't played in 2 years. I'm not going to get completely hung up in the field goal percentages because he's still over 40%. He can bring that up a little bit. It's just five games
sucks.
In a year.
They're 0-5.
He still is averaging almost 30 points a game. And that you're right, the team sucks. But I'm not going to say that it's because of Kobe Bryant.
It's a big part because Kobe Bryant.
But I'm amazed by how bad the Lakers have been.
He shoots a ton, and he shoots it at a 40% rate, and his efficiency sucks. So if you're shooting at 40% and you're playing the Lakers, and the guy who shoots the vast majority of shots shoots 40%, you're going to lose almost every game. You're terrible when your best player is shooting at 40%. Unless it's Allen Iverson, who's getting triple and quadruple teams and getting to the line every 5 seconds. And
well, Kobe's getting the line nine times a game. That's amazing. That's a wonderful...
No, it's not amazing.
I think how good he is right now. He's still a decent player. He's still a very decent player. He's going to be an all-star this year. Well-deserved.
No, not really.
Probably the second best shooting guard
in the West. If you're playing on a team this bad, this awful... And you're shooting 40%. I don't think he deserved to be in the All-Star.
Well, did Jordan deserve to be in the All-Star game when he was on
the Absolutely. He averaged over 20.
Well, they sucked.
He averaged over 20 points, and he made the team considerably better, Mark. The addition, the team last year, the Lakers last year, were far better than this team without, last year without him, were far better, and Paul Gasol were far better than this team this year with Kobe. Fact. The, if you look at those Washington Wizards, the year before Jordan played, they won like 25 games. He had like an increase in, probably less than that, I don't know off the top of my head, but the increase that Jordan, they went from like 22 wins to like 38 in 1 year just because of Michael. If Kobe is so great and so incredible and so dominant, then this team would not be 0-5 and be just a laughing stock. He's just not all that. He's not anywhere near Michael, and frankly, he's not anywhere near LeBron. And I can make the argument he's not anywhere near Wade.
So Jordan's last year, I mean, pretty consistently, 37, 2 years in a row.
40 years old. There's a mile difference between a 36-year-old and a 40-year-old.
And, you're well, and then they had Gilbert out. Arenas. How about this? They had Gilbert Arenas the following year.
Want to see what Kobe's?
They had Gilbert Arenas the following year after Jordan left, and he averaged 20 points a game the year after he left, and they only won 25 games. So they lost. They won 12 less games the year after Jordan left. So
what did he do the year before?
Before Jordan came?
Yeah.
19.
So they went from 19 to what?
38.
19 to 37. That's a massive increase.
It's a massive increase.
All for one
player. It's a massive increase.
There you go.
Yeah, you're well, but let's give, to be fair, let's give the Lakers a whole season, but yeah, I don't see this changing. They're a negative 14-point differential right now. That is atrocious. That's the worst in the NBA by a long shot. The only team that's close is Philly. So those two teams, I am surprised by how bad Cleveland looks in spurts. I mean, they looked okay against us, but they were terrible yesterday. I don't know if they won tonight, but they obviously must not have been playing very well because they were playing, I believe, Utah. I mean, they're playing a team that they should be beating. Yeah, they look really bad. So definitely, I would say those two were my biggest surprises. My third biggest is going to be, you said it, but Dallas. I'm surprised by how good they look. I'm still going to say, I don't think Houston, in my personal opinion, I mean, if I'm going to rank the teams in the West, even though they have started off extremely hot, I'm still going to put Houston, because I mean, there's just no way in my mind. How can they be better without Chandler Parsons? I just don't get it. I don't see it happening. They've had a nice start, and they didn't play very good teams. The Houston's had a weak schedule to begin the season. The best team they have played one or two decent teams, but you know Miami yesterday. That was the first time that they beat a team that was an undefeated team that was playing pretty well. I don't know exactly what their entire schedule's been so far, but I know that they've played easy competition. So I'm going to say my teams in the West right now: Golden State, Dallas, and San Antonio are the only three teams that I think could really win.
What about the Clippers?
I don't see it. I just don't think they're good enough. I think they're the same old team. I think Chris Paul's vastly overrated. He's good. He's a good point guard. But everyone, if you're such a great point guard, why can't you get out of the second round? I mean, this is, especially now. Now's your chance. I mean, now's your chance. Oklahoma City is decimated. So, now's your chance. And Oklahoma City, even when Durant comes back, they have no depth on that team whatsoever. I am sure Durant will leave at the end of his contract, unless something changes dramatically. This team is allowing themselves to get worse. I don't care what you got to do. If you're a winning team, you don't let players walk in restricted free agency. You just don't. I mean, you're not going to be able to replace them. So, I mean, if Oklahoma City had given James Harden that max contract, yeah, they'd be way into the luxury tax, but they would have had a chance to win titles. They don't have that chance anymore. They're not nearly good enough to win a championship. They just, not with Westbrook and Durant as their only two players. They need depth down low. I think he'll leave. But, I don't see, and I'm surprised that I don't see the Clippers going in. The Clippers right now, they're giving up over 100 points a game. They're only averaging 102, and they're giving up 100 points. If you're giving up 100 points a game, Fred, you really got to score the F out of the ball if you're going to win ball games. At least Dallas, who's giving up 105, is averaging 111 a game. I can see Dallas reining in a little bit on the defense. Teams will get better defensively as the season goes on. But, a team that's averaging 111 points a game, which is the best in the NBA, like Dallas, they have a chance to win a title. Golden State right now, too, though, they're only giving up 90 points a game. They're averaging 105, which I believe is down from last year by a moderate amount. But they're only giving up 90 points a game. So you got to give Steve Kerr some credit.
That's an incredible differential.
Huge differential.
And Curry is just an awesome player, and I think he's an MVP candidate. I think if they wind up winning their division, and having a top three record, I think you got to give serious consideration giving him the MVP.
I disagree, because it's Klay Thompson. He's been so good. Klay Thompson has been
he's
so
been great
much better.
And
that's a big surprise for me. That's a big surprise for me. I didn't think he was this good. When they got that, gave him that max deal, even, I was like, really? I mean, like, I like Klay Thompson, but it's like, max, I mean, I thought he was a borderline max type of guy, but right now, 29 points a game, he's got a PER right now of almost 29. I mean, the dude is just, he's lights out. He's at three assists. He's shooting rock solid. He's shooting 54%, 44% from three. That is a winner right there. He's getting the line, too, almost six times a game. And they played good teams. They played the Clippers. They played Portland. They're playing the Clippers right now, in fact. And Klay Thompson has 12 points on 71% shooting.
I gotta go watch it. But, you know, look at Bill Curry so far, though, too. I mean, his stats are pretty darn good, too. He's averaging, what, 25 points? He's having 3.7 steals, 7 assists, almost 7.
Yeah, but he's
almost
not as good.
7 rebounds.
He's only shooting 42%.
Well,
he's shooting...
He's collecting
three,
a lot more attention.
He's shooting 27% from three.
He's drawing a tougher defender. He's always
he's shooting 27% from three.
He's drawing the tougher perimeter defender. That won't
but
stay.
He's shooting 27% from three.
But he's almost averaging a triple-double, Mark. He's got 7 and 7, so.
It's not almost a triple-double, but yeah.
25-7-7.
We're giving him that. Okay, we're knocking up the rebounds. It's 6.7, but all right, we're knocking it up to.
Come on.
You're playing with another surefire all-star right now who could be the second best guard in the West. I mean, there's no question in my mind that the difference in this team has been Klay Thompson, not Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry's awesome. He's just as awesome as he was in the past. But, you know, maybe he's a little bit better, but Klay Thompson is like leaps and bounds better than
he's
been before.
He's had a great start, no denying that. Hey, let's cut it short now. I want to watch the game.
Okay, well, let me say this. I want to give you some rock, and maybe nobody who listens to this show gives a crap about rock and roll, but I wanted to throw this out there. Do you like AC/DC?
I respect AC/DC. I think they're a very good band. I like a lot of their songs. Very similar to the way I used to feel about Zeppelin. I'm really starting to get into Zeppelin now for the first time in my life. Would I go pay to see them? I've never seen them in concert.
They're amazing. I've seen them three times.
I heard they're incredible live. I heard they're one of the best live acts. I heard that nobody can open up. I mean, that we had this argument once. What band in general cannot be blown off the stage, right? Even no matter who they are. And I've always heard their name come out there as just an incredible live act. But I'm not going to say I love them.
I will say that they are in my top 10 for sure.
No way. Not for me.
For sure. I love them. But,
no way. Let me throw out some bands and you tell me.
Well, can I give you the news?
Give me the
this
news
is
first.
Crazy news. So they're about to release their next album. Their founding member. First of all, their last album was really good. I mean, it was really good. They've been really good. But nobody listens to anything right now, so it doesn't even matter. Nobody listened to Van Halen's last album. You thought it was great.
Their
opening song that they've already released has been really, really good. The new album comes out in a couple weeks. So they did. Their founding member, Malcolm Young, the guitarist, he's left the band because he's getting dementia. They did a press release the other day where they did their photos, right, of the band.
Yeah.
And their drummer was mysteriously missing from the photo. And it comes out today that the drummer got picked up. He tried to hire somebody for murder. Yesterday, he got picked up today on meth for methamphetamines and murder for hire.
Oh my god!
Right?
Yeah. Well, he's not the original drummer.
Yes, he is. He's the original drummer. He left in the '80s, came back in the '90s, and has been drumming with them ever since. He only missed like, you know, 8 years. I mean, a band that's been together for 40 years, that's not that much.
Who are you trying to have murdered?
They have not released the names. Two people. There were two males that he was trying to... He was paid somebody to get murdered.
Goodness gracious. That's
right?
Bizarre. Yeah, but nobody cares. Nobody cares.
And
about
he's a meth addict.
See, that's why it shows to me... They're not in the top 10. They shouldn't be in the top 10 on anybody's list if you can't name the drummer. I mean, can you name him? What's his name?
Yeah, Phil Rudd. I could have named you. I could have named you the entire band.
All right, okay, you probably could. I'm sure no one listening can tell us the drummer's name of AC/DC. But I'm going to throw out a band name. Tell me better or worse than AC/DC. Okay? Who?
The Who? Oh, boy. You know what? In my AC/DC.
I'm going ACU.
Now I am. You know
you're
what?
Wrong.
I probably would have told you 5 years ago, but I'm going to say staying power. I will listen to... There's like four AC/DC albums that I think are like some of the greatest rock records ever.
Jesus.
To me, the only staying power The Who has had for me is The Who's Next. I think that... And they are aging so badly, man. Like, they just announced they're doing their 50th anniversary tour, and it's like... They're pathetic right now. When they did the Super Bowl, they were
AC/DC doesn't actually look like the... you know, spring chickens either. They're not exactly...
Yeah, but I saw...
They didn't eat well when they were young.
I've seen The Who twice, and I saw them last with John Entwistle on the tour that he died, which was like 05, but maybe... No, probably before that. It was probably like 2000. And they were way past the hill at that point. They sucked. I saw AC/DC 6 years ago, and they were still amazing. I mean, they were just as good as they've ever been. It was one of the best shows ever. They were awesome.
I did not mind The Who live at the Super Bowl, and I'm hopefully going to see The Who when they come next year.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go. I've never seen him, so, and I love The Who. So
not now. Don't do it.
I need to see him. I love Townsend. I love The Who. I think they're great, and they're way better than ACDC.
Oh, God.
So you got that one wrong. Guns N' Roses.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, look, it's body of work, man. Body of work. ACDC.
Oh, that's so stupid! It's beyond belief. Body of work. Guns N' Roses had Guns N' Roses had more good songs than Use Your Illusion in the the first album,
no.
Appetite for Destruction, than AC/DC had over 30 years.
Dude, Back in Black, top to bottom. Back in Black,
that's a good album.
Back in Black's better than Appetite for Destruction, and Highway to Hell.
No,
is just as good.
No, it's not.
Highway to Hell is just as good. They have two albums that
Highway to Hell is not as good.
And
Back in Black.
30 Days Under Cheap
is up there.
AC/DC is like five great albums.
But no, they've got one that's Back in Black. That is a great album.
No way, dude. Highway to Hell's amazing.
It's not
amazing. Many people argue the Bon Scott era of AC/DC was better than the Brian Johnson era.
Well, those people are idiots.
Album. Dude, the flagship album of Bon Scott was Highway to Hell.
You can't say that Bon Scott is better when their best album is by far Back in Black. That's Johnson's album.
No. Dude, you go to an AC/DC concert, and 60% of the songs they play, at least, are Bon Scott songs, which is a lot, considering that the guy's been dead for 30 years.
I do agree with you there, but I don't agree that I think their best album is Back in Black. Don't you?
Fine, but post Back in Black, AC/DC went on an extremely big dry spell between 80 and 90. The one with Thunderstruck, Razor's Edge, was pretty good. But then they released a couple crappy albums, and then they did their last couple have actually been pretty good. But, so fine, let's say that with Brian Johnson, they've done over the course of 30 years, they've done three good records. With Bon Scott, they have like four classic albums just with Bon Scott. I mean, four classic albums. Highway to Hell is every bit as good as Back in Black. See, you don't listen to AC/DC, so you're making these claims.
Nobody
does. Not being an AC/DC fan.
All right, here we go. Next band, Rolling Stones.
Oh, God, the Stones, come on.
Beatles. There you go, okay. At least you're not totally insane. Let me see. Led Zeppelin. Okay, you're right so far. Who am I missing here? Oh, Aerosmith.
You're just getting to Zeppelin now.
Aerosmith.
Okay, seriously.
Van Halen. And if you tell me AC/DC, I'm going to reach my hand through the phone line and strangle you.
Wow.
Don't even compare.
Well, what's interesting with Van Halen is that if you said Van Halen or Guns N' Roses, I'd probably pick Van Halen. It's a tough one. I like them both a lot. Diversity of music.
Oh, God.
Better albums, though, AC/DC. AC/DC said better albums. Van Halen does not have a single album that's as good as Back in Black.
That's ridiculous. They have, like, four of them that are better than Back in Black. They have Van Halen 1, Van Halen 2. I'll even say 5150 with Van Hagar is actually better. And also 1984 is better. All those are much better.
I'm going to disagree on that one.
Women and Children First. Every David Lee Roth album is better. Maybe not Diver Down, besides Diver Down. Oh, my God. I can't believe that you were pausing with Van Halen. I just named seven bands.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I think AC/DC is in... They're clearly in my top 10. I have reduced them a little bit as a few bands have probably taken a little bit of form.
Nirvana.
I don't love Nirvana like other people do. AC/DC.
Foo Fighters.
Now, that's a band that's... Now, Foo Fighters, in my opinion, way better than Nirvana.
So do I. I totally agree with you.
Look, Foo Fighters' career is not over. They have a lot of music left in them. I think their best album was their last album. And they have a lot of great records, but their last one was extremely good. I think that they're in a kind of a peak right now. They're extremely good. I am going to say I might pick the Foo Fighters. And I'm just recently getting into the Foo Fighters, like really getting into them. Yeah. But I think I might pick the Foo Fighters, who I think we should see next year at Wrigley Field, Fred.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. And the most underrated song of all time is a song called Aurora. And I think it's on what's the album with Learn to Fly by Foo Fighters? What's that one called? Oh, God.
I don't know.
It's a big, that big song, Learn to Fly. You heard Learn to Fly.
Yeah, but I don't know what the name of the album is. See, again, I know a lot of their songs, but in this Spotify era, I don't listen to albums as much. You know, I'll mush stuff together. So I don't always even know the name of the album that I'm listening to.
Their best song is Aurora. Anybody listen, put in Aurora Foo Fighters on YouTube. Listen to that song. Tell me if that's not the greatest song you ever heard.
I can only say, like, if I'm giving, okay, so right now, I'm going to say who are in my top. Like, who would be better than AC/DC?
Jane's Addiction is way better than AC/DC.
No way, that's ridiculous. I'm not even going to respond to that. I have been recently really getting into Fleetwood Mac.
Pearl Jam?
I really like Pearl Jam. I've been getting into them a lot more. They have a lot of diversity in their music. I might pick Pearl Jam. Who would I rather listen to now? Maybe Pearl Jam. They're up there. Part of it being that I just want to make sure that when I'm old that I still have somebody to listen to.
I can't believe you'd say Pearl. I think AC/DC has Pearl Jam beat.
I love Pearl Jam, but I think as far as current bands go,
they had three good albums. That was great. I love Pearl Jam too.
Their last album was great. They've always been good. They have a ton of great albums.
Their best album isn't great. You can't say it's great. Their best album, and Pearl Jam's first album was their best.
I agree.
The second album was very good. Every album they've made has gotten steadily worse.
I disagree with that.
I think their first was the best. The second was the second best. Third was the third, but it basically they went. They're a mountain. The whole Pearl Jam disc history is you're at the top of the mountain and you're going down the mountain.
I'm gonna disagree with you there. The only these are the bands that I'm gonna say top AC/DC in my opinion. I might pick just because God they don't have the body of work, but man, when they were good, they were good. And Fleetwood Mac, I really love Fleetwood Mac at their peak. They hit a peak that I think was better than AC/DC.
Lindsey Buckingham is the most underrated guitarist of all time.
He's great. Phenomenal. And this band with Christine McVie is very underrated, too. And you see now, with them on tour, how much better they are than they've ever been in the past.
I do love them. I mean, rumors.
There's not a lot, man. There's not a lot. I mean, I'm trying to think who I've even seen.
Eagles.
Oh, I'm going to go AC/DC. I don't love the... I like the Eagles. I like them. I definitely don't dislike them. I like them. But who would I throw on? AC/DC, for sure. Not even a question.
Oh, man. All right, brother.
I'm trying to think. That's why there's not a lot of bands I'd put above them, man. Zeppelin, for sure. Stone.
We got to have the Smith. Big American band battle off. We got to do Van Halen, Aerosmith.
Well, how do we do this battle off, Brad? Is it what? You judge?
Yeah, I'll judge it. We got to... I'm going
to
do
You know what I would like to do? I would like to put together a pool of 60 beautiful women and have like a final, like an NCAA type pool where
that's
we figure out who the hottest chick of all time is.
That's a pretty good idea. We should do that time too, like Marilyn Monroe.
Because then we could debate. Music is going to be like, you're not going to, music is
We'll have the fans agree on it. The fans agree on it. So we'll take everybody's game, you know, like a tournament 64. Marilyn Monroe versus Pamela Anderson, or, you know what I'm saying? Oh, absolutely.
For sure. How about this? Marilyn Monroe versus Stevie Nicks in her prime.
You want to know who my new favorite is? You got to see this girl on Homeland. I never watched Homeland, but the original episode, The Wife of Brody. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody watch Homeland?
I don't watch Homeland. I don't know. Oh, yeah, anybody. Is there other people on the phone?
Any other people on the phone? What are you talking about?
No, you said, has anybody watched Homeland?
Well, anybody out there in podcast listening audience who's listening to who hasn't turned it off
yet. This isn't interactive with the audience. But, I do not watch Homeland, no. I have been enjoying, I did at the gym the other day watch Dancing with the Stars, and I thought that there was, dude, Leah Thompson is her age right now, man. Jesus. Good Lord.
It amazes me because people don't understand how great that show is, because isn't that just incredibly hot people. Well, women, excuse me, on the show. It's just insane how good-looking these girls are. And, you know, why wouldn't you want to watch that in high def? It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
these
I was into it the other day.
Incredible.
Almost ran off the treadmill.
I can imagine that scene, you and those those bicycle shorts on the bike with the half top. Did you have the half top on?
No, I was on the treadmill when this was occurring, and I was like, I had my iPod on the front of it. Well, I don't even want to say I hate iPods. My Samsung Galaxy Note 2 on the front of it, and it almost disconnected and went flying across the gym.
It would have been fitting because the Samsung Note sucked. How you cannot like an Apple product is beyond me. But what are you gonna do?
Because I'm not a drone.
By America,
you are a drone. You would look, if this was Star Wars, my friend, you would be like a stormtrooper, and I would be. You're one of the many. We could just clone you and just make another, and you'll go flying around. I'm Darth Vader, man.
You know, there's far more Samsung sold, right? And I have a Samsung TV. They're a fine company, but. Nothing beats the Apple, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to do. Maybe we should spend 5 minutes with
Samsung.
Apple,
well, talk to anybody about the new Note. The new Note. On the market.
I can't wait.
Best phone on the market. Well, what did iPhone? What did the iPhone just do with their new stupid iPhone Plus? They just tried to copy the Note. That's what it is. It's just their version of the Note.
Yeah, because the Galaxy was so freaking original. Yeah, you never seen anything like that.
It actually was. There was no fabric before the Note 2.
The whole industry was created by the iPhone. What are you talking about? It wouldn't be
Samsung Galaxy. But nobody extended the industry. You're right. Apple is who created the smartphone, but they didn't do anything to improve it. Like they haven't really improved it.
Are you loosening yourself? They didn't do anything to improve it.
They're all the same.
They've done a lot to improve it. Here's Siri. Okay. They've done a million things to improve
already
it.
Already done.
How about that?
Everything they did.
You ever hear that?
I don't have an iPad. I'll never own an iPad. I have a Windows tablet, which I enjoy. It's beautiful.
Oh, God. Just those commercials alone gets me angry enough to want to buy every Windows tablet and smash it to bits.
Why wouldn't I want the power of a computer in the palm of my hand?
I'm done. I got to get out of here. I can't talk
anymore. All right, get out of here. Go watch the game. Golden State, it's not even a game anymore. I'm going to ruin it for you. Golden State's up by 25. Like I said, man, the Clippers aren't that good.
Wow, that's great to hear, though. I want Golden State to win. I love that team.
Dude, Klay Thompson is just absolutely tearing it up right now. Like, he's just an unbelievable basketball player. Unbelievable. I'm shocked at how amazing this guy is. But yes, we got to wrap this thing up here. But yes, great season so far. A lot of things to look forward to. I'm so much more into basketball than I've ever been before. Anybody who listened to the show last year after Rose went down, my God, that was like the low.
You were a zombie.
I was a basketball zombie, and now
you're like one of those guys in Walking Dead, exactly. Just walking around there. Exactly. You didn't even watch the games. You didn't even faking it.
Yeah, I was doing the motions, my friend. It was like being married to, like, a gigantic whale, and you're just having sex just to make her shut up. You know what I mean? It's just like, just going through the motions. Maybe that was a bad example.
I think it was a bad example.
So I'm sure that we can think of some basketball examples that would be better examples than that. But hey, how about Sacramento being 3-1 right now?
How about if they get it? If their pick is number one pick is outside the top 10, the Bulls get it. Are you aware of that? In the Luol Deng trade, if Sacramento somehow gets outside the top 10, the Bulls get the pick. If they get 11, the Bulls get the pick. They get 12.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's the Luol Deng trade with Cleveland. I'm telling you. Look it up. Nobody's talking about it.
They're going to do it, man. They've got talent. They're Sacramento is a decent team.
I don't know if they're going to do it.
They're 3-1. They just beat.
They're in the West.
Okay, right now, there's 7 minutes and 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter against Denver, and they're winning by almost 40 points. They're winning 115-82.
It's the sixth game, Mark.
Yeah, but I understand. Rudy Gay is good. He's good. He's averaging 23 points a game. DeMarcus Cousins is awesome.
He's playing very well. Yep.
DeMarcus Cousins is awesome, and he's brought up his game to another level. He's defensively and offensively. He's awesome this year. Dude, that's a good team. Look, in NBA 2K15, in my player mode, Mark Lewenthal got drafted by the Sacramento Kings, and we're tearing it up right now. Mark Lewenthal has been one of the big guys off the bench, not named after me, just joke.
We've hit a new low for the show when we're talking about virtual Mark playing in his video game. I'm out of here, man. I got to get out of here before I hear anything.
All right. Enjoy yourself until next time, Vinay Bowles.
Same basketball. All right,
Freddie.
want to fan up. If you a fan, that should make you want to stand up. If you already standing, put your hands up. Real high man, try and touch the banners. It's the home of the champions. Hard work can turn a home to a mansion. Need you to put your hands up, cause they don't know we gotta make them understand us. From the blow seats to the nosebleeds, from the young ones to the OGs, from the Bob Loves to the Rosés, and from the MJs to the Joe Kings. See the statue outside, high slow team. Take a picture, this is a city full of winners. You ain't got horns, you better dress warm. It really get chilly in the city in the winter. Let's go. '93, '96, '98, and that white we at home, and that red we away. Got my jersey, my Jordans, I'm ready to play. I bring the horns in, representing for the city I was born in. From the go, so you know that we be going in. Swear to God that I think we about to score again. And we got that rate, we got that file, and we got that freight. They got that style, but we got that state. So we shut that down, cause we got that date. Never let my city down, man. I put that on red cup. Every dunk should make the cover of a magazine. Feeling flyer than Benny on a trampoline.
Shut up!